If you were watching UTV Live yesterday evening, you would have heard about the tragedy in Newcastle. Full report on that, of course. UTV Live tonight, last night, finding out more about the people who lost their lives in Bonnie's Caravan Park. And I want to speak to Councillor Willie Clark, who's down there, who knew the couple who have sadly passed away. Councillor Clark, good. Let me see, you'll be on line three. Good morning. Yes, good morning, Willie. A real air of sadness over Newcastle this morning.
An awful tragedy, Frank. A beautiful couple living their twilight years out, you know, with the backdrop of the warrants in the caravan park and the residential caravan park. Very quietly spoken couple, went about, you know, their daily lives. But would have helped anybody. I knew both Nan and Francie. Francie would have always been a bit about going to his mass on a daily basis, and he would always been helping, you know, pensioners out and doing their gardens and stuff, you know.
Yeah, a gentleman who was very popular, Francie and Nan O'Reilly, very popular couple. Everyone who spoke to us last night on the TV saying something similar to yourself. I was surprised, however, and I'm sure a lot of other people would have been surprised as well, to hear that they were living full time in what you would describe as a luxury caravan.
Yeah, since Francie and Nan married, it must be 3 decades now that they've been living in the residential site. It must be the longest, so, you know, couple. In that site, there's about 6 residential caravans, you know. So when I hear the news that something went serious wrong at the caravan site, you know, my heart sank because seeing them had been there, you know, so long, you know.
How many couples? Is it just couples or do some families live in those caravans?
There's about 6 caravans, and it's a mixture between, you know, single people and couples, you know.
But there are no children growing up in that caravan park?
No, it's just a small, you know, a very small site. It's predominantly, you know, visitor accommodation, you know, during the summer months.
And as you say, some people stay there all year round. This idea of it possibly being carbon monoxide poisoning, time and again we're reminded of the possibility of a tragedy in any form of home where there's a heating system. The agencies are still looking into that.
Yeah, they are, and you know, the appreciate it's still very sketchy, Frank. But talking to, you know, PS and I at the site as well, they're going down the line of the carbon monoxide poisoning, which is, you know, it's surprising, you know, because Francie was a very conscientious type of person and was very much into, you know, safety, you know, so it was very surprising that this would happen to this family. But it just goes to show, you know, if it does, without predetermined inquiry, you know, it does go to show the dangers of carbon monoxide.
And the police investigation ongoing there this morning?
Ongoing, the scene is still, you know, sealed off at the minute, I think.
Willie, thank you for that. Councillor Willie Clark, who knew the couple very well. Air of sadness. So many people paying tribute to Mr. and Mrs. O'Reilly. I want to speak to the MP for the area, Margaret Ritchie. Margaret Ritchie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
You can almost touch the sadness of Newcastle this morning.
Yes, Newcastle, the local community, is totally numbed and stunned by this tragic event of yesterday. I want to offer my deepest heartfelt sympathies to the families of Francie and Nan O'Reilly. As everybody has said on the radio, both last night on TV and this morning, they were a very quietly spoken couple. Went to mass every day. They were very reserved. Francie was involved in do-it-yourself and gardening. People that got on with their daily lives. So the people that will suffer most will be their families, and they have to be given time to grieve because they are the bereaved and they deserve that time from all of us.
Now, I presume people will have an opinion on what exactly happened. There's a suggestion that carbon monoxide poisoning may be responsible for the deaths of these lovely people. Just reminded there by Willie that Francie was excellent, and you've mentioned it yourself, a DIY man, so he would have known everything about how machinery worked, how heaters worked, and so on and so forth. So if it turns out to be carbon monoxide poisoning, it's a warning to us all that silent killer could creep up on any of us.
Yes, Frank, it is a warning to all of us, a timely reminder that carbon monoxide poisoning is the silent killer. But this investigation is very much still ongoing. There's a multi-agency approach to it with the Health and Safety Executive and the PSNI and perhaps others. And we do have to await the outcome of that investigation, and I wouldn't like to scaremonger in any particular way because I want to await the outcome of those investigations. But naturally, that is probably one of the lines of inquiry being pursued by the PSNI. But for these next few days, it is very much the families of Francis, the family of the O'Reillys, and Nan's family, the McManuses, that have to deal with this tragedy. And I am in no doubt that the people of Newcastle will stand shoulder to shoulder with them in their tragedy. And I want to offer those sympathies on behalf of all of the people of South Down. Going back to the issue of carbon monoxide poisoning, obviously, that is a matter that has also been investigated as a policy issue by the Health and Safety Executive, and perhaps government needs to do that bit more in that respect. But we have to await the outcome of the investigation, and all of that is for another day, because the next few days and weeks and months will be particularly difficult for their families as they come to terms with their tragic loss.
Absolutely. I'm just thinking about people who live in situations such as Francie and Nan, who choose to live in a mobile or a caravan or a luxury caravan or whatever. Of course, members of the travelling community do it all the time. People who are building a new home often do it in the countryside. They live in a caravan while they're building their house. And this couple and other people in Newcastle choose to live the year round on a caravan site. I would have thought it would have been particularly cold and uncomfortable in the winter time.
Obviously, Frank, it would be particularly cold and in the winter time, and during these sub-zero temperatures it must have been very cold, and they were obviously trying to provide as much heat. Perfectly natural circumstances. In fact, I can well recall when our own house, when I was a child, was being renovated, we stayed in a caravan. I couldn't wait to get out of the caravan. It was particularly cold, particularly, shall we say, you were cramped for space. But these were different sort of caravans, as I understood that they lived in. It was one of the static caravans in Bonnie's caravan site at Tully Brannigan Road, where there are about six static caravans that people live in on a permanent basis. It's not unusual for Newcastle. But you have many caravan parks in that seaside resort, and we always remember that tourism is our principal economic driver in Newcastle. But you raise a very important issue, that of the level of coldness, and particularly this month of January, which has been characterised by nights of persistent frost and very deep penetrating cold, which hit older people much more quickly. So in those circumstances, I would be urging all the support services, such as social services, St Vincent de Paul, Salvation Army, to provide all the support they can to those who would live in similar sorts of circumstances, not only in Newcastle, in other parts of South Down, but in other parts of Northern Ireland. That is vitally important, that we leave nobody untouched.
Margaret Ritchie, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Margaret Ritchie, the MP for the area, so touched by that tragedy last night. 90333105 is the number for whatever's on your mind this morning. You, as I said earlier, can take part in the programme anytime. And looking at our Facebook pages, there's no doubt what you've been talking about overnight when we were putting up some Facebook material in the early stages of yesterday afternoon, just after the show production meeting, looking ahead to what we might be doing today. And we were talking about people who'll be in town today with a bloodied skinned foxes. Why are they in town, and why will they be approaching you today? Find out more after this.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Here for you.